This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. This week, we are joined by Corinne Tan, founder of bridal wear boutique The White Atelier.
Sometimes as Asians, we are in different shapes and sizes, and most of us are quite petite as well. But having said that, every bride, every body shape and size has got a silhouette that suits them.
After that, Florence Song, style lead at Zalora, talks to us about a revival trend that is ready to take the front seat this season, dark denim.
I mean, the trend has always been about that ripped look. So, I mean, it's been there for so many cycles. I think the trend's moving towards a more grown-up, sophisticated look this season.
But first up is our style makers for this week, Corinne Tan. As the wedding day approaches, every bride dreams of the perfect moment walking down the aisle, but more importantly, how beautiful is she going to look on her special day? With that said, finding the right dress can be a daunting and stressful experience for any bride. That's where the White Atelier aims to impress. Amongst the sea of bridal boutiques in Malaysia, the White Atelier hopes to be a breath of fresh air with their custom-made bridal and bridesmaids' dresses, as well as custom-made shoes, all of which are designed and produced right in the heart of KL. Founded in March 2017 by Corinne Tan, the homegrown label is also run together with her husband Boon and her sister Lovine, where they have made dreams come true for more than 150 brides since they've started. Celebrating their one-year anniversary, Corinne joins us in the studio today as she shares with us how she embarked on this journey, as well as the challenges and highlights that has come along with it.
I have been enjoying myself. This has been the best job that I've had so far. And I'm really enjoying every bit of it, the ups and downs. But it can get really stressful because, number one, it's my own business now. So day and night, I'm only thinking about my work and my customers. And number two is about weddings. So weddings are once in a lifetime, and it's a very important occasion for all our brides. So I cannot afford to ruin their wedding. So everything has to be perfect.
Now, I want to know, tell me, how did it all start?
It all started from my own wedding, which is 6 years ago, actually. So it was from my wedding planning that I realized that I really like to be a part of weddings, anything related to weddings, but in particular, wedding gowns. Because personally, I had a tough time looking for a suitable gown for myself because I'm quite petite and most of the gowns out there are rather long and they are rather big. So as much as they can alter the sizing, they can't really alter the length. So many trips to the bridal houses, I was always advised to wear 6 to 7 inch heels.
Oh, that's
which
a killer.
Is impossible
for
me.
How can you walk? You're going to trip over all the time, right?
Yes, I had to wear a 5.5 inches and it was still just barely there. So I couldn't really find something that suited me. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I had many friends who were getting married who were also about my size and my height. So all of them came to me and asked me, where do you get your gowns from? We are struggling, you know. And it gave me an idea like, oh, you know, somebody should do this. You know, we should have a market for petite Asian ladies because not everyone is so tall and slim like the European models out there. So, yeah, but that was just a thought in my mind. And I just brushed it aside because at that time I was handling an online boutique that I started when I was back in college.
Chick Flick, right?
Yes, Chick Flick. So that went on for about 3 years. Because I had that commitment in my hands, I didn't want to think about other things. And also I was at the same time getting married and planning a family. So when I got pregnant, I started to really think about my life. Like, what did I really want to do? Because I now have a baby coming on the way. And is this business what I really want to do for the long haul? So I really think about it. And I decided to discontinue Chic Flick after 3 years and think about what I wanted to do. So my plan was just to be a stay-at-home mom. But each time, I'm just reminded of the dream that I had when I listen to any inspirational messages or when I look at weddings. I just yeah, I'm just reminded of that dream that I had in my heart that I've been just burying deep down inside. So one day I just decided, you know, it's now or never. I might as well just give it a try. If I fail, then it's fine. You know, at least I tried. So one day I just decided to text all the female friends that I have on Facebook, on WhatsApp, and I just send them a link to an online survey that I created. Asking about bridal preferences and how long they'll travel to visit a bridal shop and how much did they spend. And in my message, I told them that I was planning to start a bridal business. But at that time, I had nothing in mind. I just wanted to throw myself into the deep end so that I put one foot forward or else I will never start it. So I just threw myself out there and all my friends started to congratulate me and told me that they couldn't wait to see what I was working on. And that really pushed me forward to really, really research and really just get it started. So that took a long time. Wanted to do it for about 5 to 6 years. But yeah, I only really, really stepped into it last year.
Now, I want to know why the name The White Atelier?
I had a tough time searching for a name.
Instead of your name.
Yes, I didn't want it to be associated with me because I really want this business to be able to surpass my living years, you know. I really have a grand vision for this business. And I didn't want it to just be about me because I want to be able to groom other fashion designers, bridal designers out from this business as well. And our clients will be able to get their designs from them as well instead of just me alone. And also, I didn't want it to sound too bridal because I have plans to move into different parts of fashion as well, not just on bridal gowns alone. Yeah, so I wanted something that sounds bridal but doesn't have the word bridal gown or bridal. Yeah. So in the end, White Atelier was something that I came up with.
So you want to move away from bridal a little bit, right? More to ready-to-wear and all.
Not so much on ready-to-wear, but on mainly shoes, actually. Because aside from custom-made gowns, we also offer custom-made shoes to our customers. And when I say custom-made shoes, they can literally custom-make any design from scratch. So let's say they are looking at a 3-inch heels with... they want ankle straps, but they don't want a front to show the toe cleavages. And so these are some of the things that we can really customize. Yes, from scratch.
Wow. You mentioned earlier you were operating an online fashion business called Chic Fleek, right?
Yes.
Now, I read that, you know, that this previous experience has taught you to delegate more and focus more on your strengths. Now, how has that mentality worked out for you, you know, in your current business?
In the past, for Chic Fleek, I did everything myself. I managed the website myself, I organized the shoots myself, sourced for the clothes myself. And I could do that because I was newly married and that was my full-time job. Now I have a 2-year-old son and we're planning to expand the family. So I can't do everything by myself. And that was something that I learned as well because I was constantly feeling tired and uninspired because I was too busy and I was too tired. So this time, I know that I have to focus on my strength. And my strength is on the designing, meeting customers and customer service. Not so much on the technical part because I actually graduated from a mass comm degree and not a fashion designing degree. So I got my sister on board. She's a fashion designer. So she is the one that is focusing on the technical bits of making a gown. Whereas for my husband, he is our funder in a way as well. So he is also helping out on the finance side. He does the accounts and the finances and the business planning as well.
Well, I mean, you're lucky enough to have your sister and your husband together, you know. So three of you in a team working together for the White Atelier. What about your team of seamstress and designers? Or do you design everything on your own?
Yeah, so at the moment, because I make customers by myself personally, so I will know firsthand on what styles they are looking for. So, but most of the time, we co-design with our customers. Yeah, most of our brides will already have an idea of what they like or what they don't like. Some of them have totally no idea. They come in blank. They have not tried on any gowns and they have no idea at all. So from there, we slowly just get to know them more, know more about their wedding, where it's held, when, is it outdoor, indoor, what are their color themes, what are their decorations like, so that we can have a better idea of how their personal preferences are like. And from there, I will show them a bunch of photos on different silhouettes, what they like and don't like. So from there, I will get to know more about their preferences. Mm-hmm. And also, we have gowns available in the studio for them to try in different silhouettes and different styles. So from there, they can understand better their personal preferences as well for their own gown.
Now, I want to know, what kind of fabric do you play with most?
Personally, I'm a fan of lightweight fabric. Mm-hmm. So when we use satin, we try to layer with tulle. Soft tulle for a more airy ethereal effect, for mm-hmm. a more soft effect. And that is personally my own preference. And we love laces as well.
Yes.
But personally, I prefer soft laces like chantilly lace and French lace. And also, I love chiffon.
Mm-hmm.
Chiffon is a really nice material to have that flowy and nice effect. At the same time, it is quite heavy in nature. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't hug the body so tightly that it shows all the lumps and bumps, like on the tummy, on the hips. So it's a really nice fabric to work with, yeah.
Where do you source your fabrics?
At the moment, we source locally and mm-hmm. also from Singapore. But we try to source internationally as well. Deal with suppliers online.
Right.
So we have sourced laces from China and also Israel in US and London. Yes, because we have many suppliers who stock in these laces that they like. So mm-hmm. they just buy and then they sell it to designers.
I mean, by sourcing overseas, you know, from different countries, you know, does it make the cost higher for you?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But these are the rare ones, the unique laces and something that you cannot really find locally.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we try to step out of the common type of laces that we always see locally in the local bridal scene. We try to not use too much of the same stuff and to replicate the same designs. We try to come up with new designs for gowns.
I mean, I'm just so impressed, you know, for bridal gown designers, for you to come out with so many different kinds of designs and making every bride look different, you know, in every photos, you know, unlike your ready-to-wear, you know, it's more of like a simple, minimalist kind of outfit, you know, but bridal wear, I mean, where do you guys get inspirations and ideas to actually design a dress?
For me, I spend a lot of time on Pinterest. Whenever I have time, I'm either on Instagram or Pinterest. Mm-hmm. I'm looking through international designers' work
mm-hmm.
and saving the ones that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I realized that by doing that, I my eyes get familiar with the right styles and the right fabric for the right design and for the right shape as well. So getting myself familiar with designs from all over the world is very important to keep myself inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I were to just keep doing the same thing all over and over and just look inwards, I will not be able to come up with new things.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's important to get myself inspired and open to designs out there.
Now, I mean, if you see any designs in magazines or on TV or Pinterest, and all, I mean, do you do a replica of it or do you redesign?
We try not to replicate because we want to respect the original designer's work.
Mm-hmm.
So what we try to do is that we'll change up maybe the silhouette and change up the laces, but we get inspiration from that original design.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of brides locally, they are very worried about custom making a gown because they are not sure if it'll look nice if they change certain parts of it. So they will try to tell us to stick as close as possible, like mm-hmm. if possible, 100%. We can replicate, but we really don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so we try to let them change up certain things or make. We'll tell our brides to make it their own design.
So when a bride, when they make a dress with you, you know, and what do they do next, you know, with the dress? Do they leave it in your shop for renting or do they bring it back home usually?
I would say 70% of the brides will opt for a custom-made to rent.
Mm-hmm.
So for our custom-made gowns, we have two options, custom-made to rent and custom-made to own. So for custom-made to rent, it's all the same as custom-made to own. The only difference is that they return to us the gown after the wedding and we'll make it available for rental for the next bride.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's a very practical option mm-hmm. because we have many brides who come to our studio. They will tell us that they really want to custom-make but they don't know what to do with the gown after the wedding.
Yeah.
And then we'll present them with this option and they'll be super happy because they will then have a practical option, not having to keep the gown in their closet and not knowing what to do with it. And
you don't have enough space.
Sell it.
to put in your house.
Yes, yes. On the other hand, we also have brides who want to keep their gowns for right. various reasons.
For their daughters.
Yes. or for their 10th anniversary or yeah. to do a post-wedding shoot or simply just for sentimental reasons.
Now, there's quite a number of bridal boutiques in Malaysia, as we all know. How do you stand out from the rest?
We try to be different by offering really personal customer service. So for our appointments, we don't allow walk-ins. So every consultation session is by appointment only. And for each appointment, we have a 90-minute allocation. Whether it is for a renting gown or for the custom making, we try to have more than enough time so that we can get to know our brides and their fiancés and their family. Sometimes they bring their entourage as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to get to know them, be their friend, and listen to what they have to say. So this is something that we are investing in because due to this 90-minute allocation, we can only have a limited number of appointments per day. Mm-hmm. But it is still worth the while because we really want to build a close relationship with our clients mm-hmm. and not just have a high buy relationship or just get them to sign a package and just get our gown and buy, see you again, you know. We really want to be their friend as well. Mm-hmm. So this is something that we are trying to do differently from most bridal houses out there mm-hmm. and also to offer a different style from what we see out there. So for most of our gowns, there are a bit of an A-line silhouette. We try to make it practical and functional by inserting hidden pockets for the gowns.
Oh, I love pockets.
Yes, a lot of our brides, when they found out that we have hidden pockets for our gowns, they light up because they
to
love
put our
pockets.
Phone.
Yes. You can put your phone, you can put ang paos that your guest passed to you. You, yeah. know? you can put your vow card inside. Yeah, it's just really functional. And we believe that a wedding gown doesn't have to be bulky and inconvenient mm-hmm. or something that has to be of a certain style. But it can be as light and simple and functional.
Now, do you have any special bridal collection, say a capsule collection, for sometime this year or perhaps maybe next year or years to come?
Yes, that is definitely in the pipeline, in the plans. But for now, we are really busy with the custom orders. Mm. So we've not really had time to sit down and come up with a collection that we mm-hmm. can call our own. But for a start, we did have a collection ready for rentals, mm-hmm. something that we designed in different shapes and sizes and length for different brides. So that, I would say, that would be our first collection.
And that was Corinne Tan, founder of bridal boutique The White Atelier. Stay tuned because after this, Florence Song, style lead at Zalora, guides us on the classic staple trend, dark denim. But before that, here's Fly Me to the Moon by Frank Sinatra, played at Phillip Plains Fall 2018 in New York. This is Starfile and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Starfall. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And now Florence Song, style lead at Zalora, with some pointers on the darker shades of denim. And this week, we are talking about dark denims. Now, harks back to the noughties, young pop stars, and the glory days of jeans immortalized by Hollywood stars Marilyn Monroe in the 60s. Now, I think it's time to dust off your dark denims because the best thing about dark denims is that it's one of the most versatile of trends and it transitions seamlessly from the office to a night out to off-duty days. Now, do you agree with me, Florence?
Yes, I mean, denim is a perennial classic, but each season, the trend and the fit changes. So, I mean, it used to be all about, like, the roughed out, edgy, ripped, stoned wash denim that you find on, you know, street styles and everything. But the dark, indigo, kind of polished-looking denim has been taking a backseat for such a long time. Mm. But it's always one of those wardrobe classics that you have, but they're not necessarily in trend. But you have it there because, you know, you can wear it when you need to look a bit more, you know, dressed up or wear it to the office, like you mentioned. So, I mean, it's a great transition. And, you know, it's this type of denim that you could probably get away with wearing to work. You don't have to wait for, like, casual Fridays to don it. Mm. And it'll still look appropriate.
Well, I love dark denims because I think it matches anything and
exactly.
everything. Whatever
and
you pair
expensive.
It. Yeah, it does. Yeah. So how would you pair it?
The coolest way to wear dark denim right now is to just go denim on denim. So top to toe. Mm-hmm. It's either, you know, you go, you don't complicate it. Just do like, you know, a dark denim top, like a shirt, mm-hmm. you know, paired with like really cool flattering dark denim jeans.
Are you talking about day look?
Yes. Or, I mean, you can even dress it up for night. I mean, for day, you can wear it with like sneakers, white sneakers, mm-hmm. or like a white slip-on mules. And for night, just switch up your footwear and change it to like strappy sandals or mm-hmm. put on some earrings as well.
Why do you think dark denim is back in trend?
I mean, the trend has always been about that ripped look. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's been there for so many cycles. It's time to, you know...
I still like ripped.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's casual, but I think... the trend's moving towards a more grown-up, sophisticated look this season.
And where can we buy into the trend when it comes to affordability?
Well, denim is sold pretty much everywhere, so you just have to opt for the darker washes. Mm-hmm. Only is, you know, this brand that's under the bestseller group from Denmark. I mean, mm-hmm. they've had brands like Verimoda and Jack & Jones. They have this really great tailored dark denim shirts that you can invest in. And they come with like subtle ruffled trims and, you know, different elements that makes it a bit more interesting. And Something Borrowed has also like dark denim tote bags. So if you don't like wearing them, I mean, just accessorize with, you know, dark denim accessories instead. And also French Connection, they have some really great dark denim culottes with lace-up elements, mm-hmm. which might look a bit cooler as well if you don't want it to be too plain or too tailored.
So as you mentioned earlier, dark denim makes you look more grown up. Mm-hmm. So do you think we wear more denim with sneakers or denim with heels or denim with boots?
I mean, denim's so versatile. Even if it's dark denim, you can also pair it with sneakers and it'll look great. But I personally like to dress it up a bit more and, mm-hmm. you know, save the sneakers for the ripped jeans and, you know, the light washes. For dark denim, you know, even if you want to go for a flat, make it a nice sandal, like a flat mm-hmm. slip-on sandal, like, you know, proper leather ones, or, you know, go for a boot. A boot will look really great with it, or mules.
So that was Florence Song of Zalora with the latest on the dark denim trend. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can also catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you're a busy bee by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. Now, before I end the show, here's New Day by Alicia Keys, played at Tory Burch's Spring Summer 2017 in New York. Have a listen, let me know what you think. You can tweet me at Adeline CSK or BFM Radio. Now, this has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Jung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.